Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
I'm speaking with Roland Trujillo, the host of Shedding Shackles, which airs weekends on this station. Roland, can you tell us what today's program will be about and talk about it a little? And do you have a quote for us today you would like to share?
Yes, I do. Today's topic is wake up and be free. And the only people who wake up and become free and stay free are those who are in Christ. Here's a quote from Billy Graham. Billy Graham said, "The scripture teaches that the only truly free people in the world are those who have made Christ their Savior, Master, and Lord. Jesus Christ said, 'Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" That's a beautiful quote. Paul said, "Wake up, you who sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Everywhere you go, people live in tyranny. They are asleep in sin and ruled in that sleepwalking state. We need to wake up and stay awake. But there's something even better than just being awake. It's to also be aware, living in Christ's light. In Christ's light, you become free from those things that have enslaved you, and you are free to see and free to be. That's today's program.
Sounds good. Thanks, Roland.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is God Knows What's Right. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. For the past few weeks, the theme has been getting God back in your life. And I want you to see that there's a getting it part of coming back to God. There's a getting it part. You know, like they call it the aha moment or the eureka moment. A lot of people are burdened down by something from a wrong idea. And somehow that wrong idea got into their mind, and it has dominated their whole existence, and it keeps you apart from God. And so getting it is sometimes just seeing that it's a wrong idea. And the simple example that I give, I could give others, but I'll just give this one just to give you an idea what I'm talking about. My stepdad, who was a decent guy, misunderstood, as many dads are. He somehow got the idea that he was going to die when he was age 50. His father had died at age 50, and he got the idea that he was going to die at age 50. All right, so as he became 48 and then 49 and then 50, it dominated him. Every day he thought about that. And it brought with it, as you can imagine, feelings of hopelessness and despair and what's the use, looking forward to anything and all that kind of stuff. And somehow he was able to disabuse himself of that idea. And I think my mother helped. I think she helped. She saw that he, for all of her faults, she had some, she also had some good common sense at times, and she sat down and talked to him about it. They had a conversation about it, and I don't know what she said, but whatever she said, I think she argued well for the fact that that was just a totally wrong idea. It had no basis in reality unless, you know, he so became dominated by that idea that he made it into, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy. But anyway, she talked him into forgetting that idea, that it was not a good idea. And by seeing that it wasn't true, he was able to let it go. went on with his life and did many things for many, many, many years. All right. I'll never forget, I also saw a video, excuse me, I saw where a young man, when he was a kid, when he was a little kid, he saw his mom and dad, and they were pretending to wrestle, is what they were doing. But anyway, he thought as a little kid when he saw that, he thought that his dad was trying to kill his mom. That's what he thought. And for the next many, many years, he hated his dad. He hated his dad because he thought that he was trying to kill his mom. Well, years went by. He became an adult, and he hated his father. I don't know where his father went. Maybe his father went off somewhere or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, he hated his father, and one day he was talking to his mom, and he told her how much he hated his dad, and then somehow he finally mentioned to her that he had seen that, and she looked at him and thought about it, and then she said, "You know what? We were just having fun. We were young at the time. We were pretending to wrestle. That's all we were doing." And by seeing clearly that that idea was wrong, he was able to let go of his hatred and his resentment toward his dad. You see? Now, the whole world, everywhere you go, people are dominated by wrong ideas. Look at communism, and look at socialism, and look at a lot of other isms that I could point to. They're just totally wrong, but people have taken them in and believed them and lived them. And wrong ideas have the power, really wrong ideas have the power to keep you apart from God.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio. Shedding Shackles has been helping people cope with stress with Principles of Christian Stress Management for over 34 years.
Wrong ideas have the power to keep you apart from God, because you can't believe, for example, if you believe in evolution, that somehow we just atoms came together and molecules formed and somehow they suddenly became an amoeba, and then the amoeba changed into this and that, and then there was an ape, and then from apes people came. If you believe that idea, then how can you believe that God is the creator? See, you can't. So there are a lot of wrong ideas. A lot of people have somehow gotten the wrong idea about what life is all about, and they've gotten a wrong idea about themselves. They have a wrong idea. They say, I am too fat. Even when they become skinny, they still feel like they're too heavy. Some people have an idea that they're no good, or that God hates them, or they're doomed to be a failure, or everything they do, they're going to mess up. I could go on and on with this, but I want to keep it real simple and just say that a wrong idea not only can mess you up. You know, a wrong idea, you put all your money into something that's wrong, you can lose all your money. You have a wrong idea about yourself, it can ruin your life. See, you believe in some wrong philosophy, some wrong ism, but here's the thing. At some point, the wrong ideas can actually keep you separated from God. All right? And they can give you a totally messed up approach to life that will also mess you up. So not only will it mess up your life and you'll hurt other people, but you can be separated from God by a wrong idea. Now, there's wrong ideas everywhere. In physics, there are wrong ideas. And we see them in politics. You see them in religion. You see them in people's individual lives. They have wrong ideas about what a man is, what a woman is, what love is. See, what life is all about.
Are you looking for something to help with stress? Is stress interfering with your prayer life? Are you interested in making a fresh start? You've come to the right place. Why not try Roland's free meditation? Give it a try today at sheddingshackles.com.
So, wrong ideas dominate the world. And in order for you to be sure that you're living your life properly, you have to be free or becoming free of wrong ideas. All right. Anyway, I think I've sort of made a point. I haven't made much of a point, but I just want you to see I have to state it because otherwise you might miss it. Everywhere you go, people are dominated by wrong ideas. And I want you to see that a wrong idea can also keep you apart from God. Now, how are you going to know that you are dominated by a wrong idea or wrong ideas? How are you going to know? There's only one way that you can know for sure. Only one way that you can know for sure. And that's to wake up. It's to wake up from whatever lower level of being you have fallen into, from whatever trance you have fallen into, from whatever hypnotic state you have fallen into, from whatever thing that you are fixated on and obsessive about, and whatever hold that people have on you, tradition has on you, obligations have on you. Some people rebel against it, but the problem is when you rebel against something, then you have to be careful that you don't resent it. Because if you resent it, or you resent the people that are pushing something on you, if you resent them, then you're going to feel guilty. And why are you going to feel guilty? Because resentment is wrong. And so you'll misinterpret your guilt. Your guilt will make you feel wrong, and you'll interpret that feeling wrong as indicating or proving that you're wrong. And then you might think that they're right. And so you go over to them, you give yourself to them, give yourself over to whatever idea. To get rid of the guilt, you are now capitulated to it, and you feel better because you gave in, and now guilt is gone. But the problem is, now you're definitely wrong for sure. And not only that, but you'll have another guilt arising for having given in to wrong. And you'll misinterpret that guilt as being that you're not being nice enough to them or doing enough for them, and you'll give yourself even more to them. And that will ruin your life. And keep you apart from God, too. So rebelling, that's a natural, and you could argue a positive thing. When something's wrong, you rebel against it. Good. But you have to be careful not to resent it. But then the other problem with rebelling, you rebel against one thing, but then you're going to become subject to something else. Instead of being free, you'll become subject to something else. I'm going to make something up. You rebel against your parents and their, you know, rigidity and their hypocrisy and their phony niceness and everything, and you rebel against that and join a motorcycle gang. All right, so now you join the motorcycle gang, but you know what? You're going to be subject to the motorcycle gang and its leaders and its customs and its agenda and its ideas, and you're going to feel guilty for that. And then maybe you'll take drugs or drink alcohol to try to get rid of the guilt. You see what I mean? But now you're not free. The idea is to become free so that you're not subject to any idea. Free to see clearly, to see what is true and what is not true, what is right and not right, what is good and not so good. So you can just see it without having feelings about it. You don't have to feel guilty. It's called discerning. You've probably heard there's a difference between discerning and judging. There's a razor's edge between discernment and judgment. Judgment is when you have a pinch of ego in it, a pinch of resentment. And discerning is just seeing. All right? So I see something that's nice, and I say, that's nice, but I don't have any feelings about it. I see something that's not so nice, or somebody that's not so nice. I see they're not so nice, but I don't have feelings about it, see? And because I don't have feelings and don't form a judgment, I'm free of them, free of guilt, and free to see even deeper about things.
Hi, my name is Andrew. You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station. Roland brings old-time religion to life as he talks about repentance and turning back to God. Roland makes a new program every week just for the radio listener, so be sure to take advantage of this special resource. Roland wants you to know that Shedding Shackles is easy to find at your favorite podcast place. Just look for Shedding Shackles. Roland says that since his program is only on the radio once or twice a week, you really should check out the podcast so you can listen again. Thanks and blessings.
So when you are free, now here's the part that I was getting to that I haven't gotten to yet. When you're free, you can discern what is true from what is not true. With your intuition, your common sense, your conscience, what you know in your heart, a hunch, a gut level knowing or a gut level hunch, you can see or discern true from what is not true. But here's the thing. When you wake up from hypnosis, you come up to full awakeness. But then beyond full awakeness, there's also awareness. And awareness is in God's light. In the light of truth, you see, you discern, you watch, you wait, and you also know. Sometimes you just know. I know Jesus is who he says he is, and I know God exists, and I just know it. That's all. I don't have to read it. I don't need anybody to tell me. I don't need a preacher to tell me, or a professor to tell me, or anybody or a book to tell me. I just see, all right? Some things I just see, and if somebody comes along and says what I see, then I can see that what they're saying is true. Not because they say so, but because I see that it's true. You see what I mean? The example I used to give, it's kind of funny, but it makes the point. Let's say you're walking down the street, and here comes Hitler, all right? And Hitler stops you, and Hitler says, "Hey, your shoelace is untied." And you look down and you see that your shoelace is untied. And you say, "Oh, thank you very much, Hitler. Thank you." And then you tie your shoelace. All right? So the truth is that your shoelace was untied. It doesn't matter that Hitler said it. You see the truth, you know the truth. And by seeing the truth, then you can tie your shoelaces. That's it. It has nothing to do with Hitler. On the other hand, somebody that seems really nice, they could come along and they could say something that's not true, and you would just see that it's not true. You don't accept it because they said so. If somebody comes along and they have, 5 degrees, and they have robes on, and they have this, giant following of people and everything, and they say something, if I see that it's not true, then I just see that it's not true. That's all. It doesn't matter if 100 million people say that it's true, and I see that it's not true. I know it's not true because I trust what I know in my heart, because I know that that is from God. I know my intuition is a gift of God for not resenting other people and for wanting to know the truth. See, there's something about wanting to know the truth. I was watching a video about Roger Penrose. Roger Penrose is a British physicist who won a Nobel Prize for his discoveries concerning, he's a mathematician for what he discovered about black holes. But did you know that when Roger Penrose was in school, he said he was very slow to pick things up? And very slow when he had tests, for example, he was very, very slow. He had a teacher who had the wisdom to see that Roger Penrose, if you gave him enough time, he would get the answer. So he said that they had a system where they would have one period for testing, and then after that, they would have some kind of a free period. And then after that would be another period of testing. And this teacher saw that Roger just needed more time, and he let him continue to work through the free period. And Roger Penrose became a great mathematician. So he was always good at math, but he just needed more time. And he said he kind of had to work things from basic principles. And I understand that because I'm the same way. He needs to see the why of every little thing that he does, in this case, mathematically. He wants to see the why of it. And he won't be satisfied with just memorizing it. He wants to see why. All right, so that way he's going to learn a little slower, or a lot slower. But in the long run, he comes out way ahead of those people who just memorized things but didn't see the why. He has something in him, this Roger Penrose, that he wants to know the truth. He has this burning desire to know the truth. Well, that's a very, very good thing. And it's actually also a gift from God. So when you want to know the truth, and you're willing to wait, there are some things that I have realized. In the last couple of weeks, I've actually realized something that I had wanted to know the answer to for, I think, 2 or 3 decades. And I waited and waited and waited. And all of a sudden, one day, I see. And it's so sweet and it's so beautiful, because I didn't want a mealy-mouthed answer. I didn't want a half-truth. I didn't want to just memorize. I wanted to see for myself. And I waited and waited. And like a gift, I guess, it came to me. A gift from on high, from God. He's let me see it. Before that, it wasn't time yet. Then at a certain point, I saw it.
In quiet patience, instead of making yourself into a judging God, you remain still. A Shedding Shackles Minute. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Humility is an acknowledgement that you don't know how to make things right. You have a need for His love. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
So, when you're not only awake, but then you are also aware and you trust your intuition instead of doubting it. How many times have you had a hunch about something and you doubted it, and then you went ahead and did what somebody said, and then afterwards you could kick yourself and say, why didn't I listen to that hunch? See what I mean? Well, that's the way it is. You have to learn to trust your gut. You have to trust your intuition. You have to have faith in what you know in your heart is true or what is right. And if you don't know, you just wait until you do know. But when you do know, one morning you wake up and you just know. When you do, you have absolute rock-solid faith in it, and the whole world could be arrayed on the other side. See, I can see that 1 + 1 = 2. I can see it. I haven't just memorized it. I can see it. All right? And if 1 million people came along and said, no, 1 + 1 does not = 2, it equals 3 or something, I would just see that what they're saying is not true. I wouldn't have to argue with them. I wouldn't have to use emotion. I wouldn't have to get excited or get angry. I wouldn't have to rebel against them. All right? I wouldn't have to resent them. I would just see what's true. And everybody else can argue themselves. They can argue until they drop, see? Or they come over to my side. Finally, they also see that what I'm saying is true. Good. On the other hand, they may argue themselves so much they get sick from arguing and get a headache and have so much guilt for their resentment and their anger that they capitulate and come over to what is to the true side. And that's good also. All right? So it's all good. So you have to have this rock-solid faith in what you know in your heart, and you need that because there are so many wrong ideas and subtle twisting of ideas and so on. If you get involved in trying to figure it out, see, there's no substitute for faith. And when you have this faith, then you'll also have courage. God will give you that to go along with it. He'll give it to you. You don't have it now, but now you have anger, all right, which is okay when you're a kid and you see injustice and it makes you angry. All right, that's natural to get angry at injustice, which is a lot better than some mealy-mouthed person who could care less. And they're so selfish and so thoughtless that they don't care if there's injustice. That wouldn't be good at all. Okay, so a person gets angry, but the problem is when you get angry, you can end up defeating yourself. Through your anger, you look bad, you say the wrong thing, you rebel, you join the other side, which is just as bad. Okay, what you need is to be able to oppose without anger, simply because you see clearly what is true and you state your point simply. If they have questions, you can answer them. But if you see that they're just trying to get to you somehow, then you just say, well, thank you very much. I have other things to do now. And then you just take leave. No need to get in an argument. They have to see it. You can state your point simply. And then if they see it, good. If they don't, all right, you walk away. Maybe they'll never see it, but maybe they will. Maybe next week, next year, 10 years from now. 10 years from now, the person comes to you and says, hey, I just wanted to tell you that, remember what you said about such and such? And you said, yeah. And they said, I see it now, I see it. How many of us, when we were kids, our parents said something and we didn't believe it at all. And then years later, we think back and you said, oh, now I understand what my dad was trying to say. So understanding is a beautiful thing, but with it must be faith. Understanding, faith, trust in God. Trust in what you know in your heart. But when you have faith, when you're absolutely clear, then you'll be, they called Einstein unbudgeable. That was the term. They said he was unbudgeable. He saw something. Then years later, scientific experiment proved that what he said was true. And he said, well, I knew it all the time. He didn't need the proof because he already knew it. That's the way you need to be. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.